Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. So tomorrow, of course, is Halloween, our annual celebration of all things ghoulish and creepy.
But if ghosts were real and they could talk, what would they say? What secrets would they reveal? Especially in a place like Boston, with so many old cemeteries, old stories hidden underfoot.
People aren't exactly buried right under the stones, and there are many, many more burials in this burying ground than there are stones.
So let's take a walk around the Granary Burying Ground on Tremont Street with Caitlin Galante DeAngelis Hopkins. She's a lecturer in history and literature at Harvard University.
You might have been to the Granary Burying Ground, one of the most visited sites in Boston. You might have even walked among the knee-high, centuries-old gravestones of famous revolutionaries such as Paul Revere, Sam Adams, and John Hancock.
Hancock gets a mighty obelisk, but right next to his is a much smaller headstone sunk into the earth. It reads,
"Frank, servant to John Hancock, Esquire, lies interred here, who died the 23rd of January, 1771.
Hopkins says she hasn't heard many Freedom Trail guides point out Frank's grave, which, by the way, covers up a rather significant fact. Frank was Hancock's slave.
There were many slaves buried in these cemeteries, and only a few stones survive. There are other stones for enslaved New Englanders, particularly in Newport. Frank's stone is one of the few here in Boston.
As with all old graveyards, there are hidden stories. Hopkins points to the grave of Sarah Strange, who was 21 when she died in the early 18th century.
And if you'll look down here at the border, you'll see this sort of foliage, this sort of rich, fruitful gourds and leaves and symbols of abundance. And that's sort of something that might be unexpected on a gravestone, to think about abundance and life. And if you'll notice here, these sort of paired gourds look a lot like breasts. And in fact, they are breasts. It just sort of reminds us that that there's a lot going on that we don't always think. You know, we might think of the early New Englanders as sort of grim and dour, but that they were drawing on a lot of imagery from a lot of different European traditions, and the imagery can be surprising.
Surprising, and sometimes, let's just face it, even funny.
Here's a stone for Hannah, wife to William Gibson and daughter to Edward Hazen, but you see they've forgotten the R in Edward, so he's Edward. And someone has gone back and carved in a tiny little R between the A and the D. But that's something that happens a lot on Massachusetts and Rhode Island stone, forgetting R's because of the accent. Or adding them. Sometimes there'll be someone named Susanna, but it'll say Susanna with an R on the end.
Graveyards may be the final resting place for the dead, but they're also living history. A record carved in stone of how colonial Bostonians wanted us, centuries later, to remember them.
For example, Christopher Sider, the 11-year-old colonial boy killed by British soldiers a week before the Boston Massacre and buried here.
Hopkins says his funeral was a political event that drew thousands of people, not unlike modern protests today.
There's certainly an analog in you know, the Black Lives Matter movement of taking the deaths of people who have been killed by police officers and saying that this is an unacceptable use of force and violence by the state. And that's something that goes back to the 17th and 18th century in New England. It's a tradition of ours to use death and memorial and funerals as a time to protest against the religious order of the time, the political order of the time, for sure.
That was historian Caitlin Galante DeAngelis Hopkins, lecturer in history and literature at Harvard, taking us on a walk around the Granary Burying Ground.